prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning and welcome. Are you ready
for
Truth Revolution?
I'm ready.
I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Oh, yeah. We are going to talk about how do we know the Bible is from God?
Because it says so.
No, that's not. Well, yeah, kind of actually. We're going to get. But there's much, much better reasons than that. Okay.
Yeah.
So
much better reasons.
Much better.
More.
That
much
is
more better.
Correct.
That is correct. Nice. There are much better reasons. So we are going to talk about that. How do we actually know the Bible is from God? Because if it's not from God, we shouldn't be putting so much trust in it.
Right. Despite the fact that the Bible does say, hey, I am from God, there are other things. Because, you know, I actually was talking to an atheist the other day.
Okay.
And we were talking about, well, how do you know God exists?
Mm-hmm.
And I started going, so, well, the Bible says. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. You can't do that. And I'm like, hold on a second. You didn't even let me finish. And I was going to go into the whole prophecy thing and stuff like that. So, you know, people don't want to think, well, you can't use the Bible to prove God exists. Well, we think you can.
Well, we can. But the problem is right away we're like, well, look, let's talk about Christianity. In the Bible, and they're all,
you could just shut your big yapper.
Right? I've gotten that before.
But the deal is, look, if the Bible is the Word of God, then it's got some serious authority.
Right.
And we have to pay attention to that. So we're going to talk about that today. How do we know it's from God? And we also got a listener question we're going to do. We got a Bible contradiction we're going to do. And we are from Revolution Church.
Yeah. You want to definitely come check us out if you're in the area.
9 o'clock and 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. We stream live online and we're in Salina, Kansas. So come on out to Revolution Church. We just would love to have you here. No matter what you're looking like, no matter what you how many tattoos you got, no matter how many piercings you got, we are interested in the person and learning about God together.
And the whole thing is even if you're not in the area, you can check us out. You can go to truthrevolution.tv and click on the Revolution Church link.
Oh.
It'll get you right there.
That's a good website.
It is.
Truthrevolution.tv.
Yeah.
Right there. All right. You got to get there. We also have truth shots on there.
Plug.
Every 60 seconds of truth. We have these truth shots.
Yeah. Every Tuesday and Thursday.
Thursdays. It's good stuff. Okay. Now, here's the deal. How do we know the Bible is from God? There are three ways we're going to try to talk about today,
all right,
at least, that we know it's from God. Prophecy, statistics, and Jesus. So we're going to let's look at the first way, okay?
So you're like talking about Nostradamus type stuff.
Prophecies?
Prophecies.
Well, yeah, but see, there is a difference between Nostradamus and the Bible.
don't we know it?
Right. Look, Nostradamus has a book of prophecies called Centuries. You ever heard of it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Are they real prophecies? Let's. I wrote one down for you, Dave.
Okay.
All right, I wrote one down for you. I want you to read this. This is a prophecy that Nostradamus made. Okay. It's one of his predictions.
Okay. Do I have to read this?
Well, you don't have to. I could, but it's kind of.
Here goes.
Let's get ominous here.
Okay. Followers of sects, great troubles are in store for the messenger. A beast up on the theater prepares a scenical play. The inventor of that wicked feat will be famous. By sects, the world will be confused and divided.
Oh, that's deep.
Wow. You know, the way I said it, it probably will come true.
Yeah. I mean, especially that. How'd you do that music? But you know what? I know exactly what that prophecy means. No, I don't. No one does. He made this prophecy and it sounds weird and interesting, but talk about vague.
Right.
Okay. There will be troubles in store. There's a beast on a theater. Someone will be famous.
Is that a movie theater or is that like a war theater?
Well, see, they're saying like the world is his theater, but there's all sorts of different ways you interpret this. Some people say it predicted the rise of Adolf Hitler.
What?
But it could be true about, it's so vague, it could be true about any dictator in history. Stalin, Saddam, Castro.
Jeff.
Dave.
Nice.
We totally tag team each other.
Right.
What you just said, everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
We shouldn't do that. Anyway.
Fortunately, there's only three of us in the room.
But you understanding this, look, Nostradamus doesn't look like a prophet. He doesn't, because this is so broad.
Right. But how is it that so many people consider him a man of prophecy?
Well, because you read those words and it sounds interesting and compelling.
Right.
Followers of sects, great troubles are in store for the messenger, a beast upon the theater. But it's just so vague. It can apply to so many things. Compare that to biblical predictions.
Okay,
we're going to go over some of the messianic predictions. Mm-hmm. Messianic predictions are predictions about Jesus Christ or the Messiah, who we believe is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from the Old Testament, so these were written hundreds of years before Jesus. Okay, Isaiah 7 puts it this way.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel.
Okay, that's pretty clear cut.
Whatever. I think this Nostradamus thing is...
right. Nostradamus is like, there's a beast on a theater. It's a scenical play and someone will be famous. And Isaiah's all like, look, there's going to be a virgin.
Right.
She's going to have a baby.
Yeah.
And you're going to call him Emmanuel.
Right. It doesn't sound quite as ethereal as Nostradamus stuff. So,
well, no, that's the thing. Biblical prophecies are not so ethereal.
Right.
Now, you get to the book of Revelation and it is.
Right, yeah.
But we're talking about messianic prophecies, how we know Jesus was real, how we know the Bible was real.
Right.
And right there, it's very clear. He was going to be born of a virgin and his nickname was going to be Emmanuel. This was made 700 years before Jesus came.
And quite often when people talk about biblical prophecy, they want to go straight to Revelation or straight to the book of Daniel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's a fallacy, because the ones that we're interested in are the ones that tell us exactly who Jesus is, because that's what we want proof of.
Right. And we want to know the Bible's real.
Right.
But you know, honestly, we've gone over Revelation before.
We have.
And it seems ethereal, and I'm not going to say it can't be. It could be,
mm-hmm.
but our interpretation is pretty darn straightforward
right.
about the book of Revelation.
Right.
Like when it says, there are seven kings, and the sixth one will die, and the seventh one won't be for very long.
Uh-huh.
We actually think that refers to six emperors
right.
of Rome.
Right.
And the sixth one died, and the seventh one wasn't there for very long.
Right.
I mean, it's like pretty stinking clear.
It is.
And so, I mean... And we talk about 666 is really clear. It's not ethereal at all. You have to go to truthevolution.tv.
You're going to give away all of our other stuff. You know,
we've got another
show to do here,
man. This one's about the Bible, though.
All right, Micah 5:2. This is messianic prophecy.
All right, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small...
Now, hold on a second. Just so you know, Bethlehem Ephrathah was not some mystical name. That's just a location.
Oh, okay.
That's like saying Salina, Kansas. Right?
All right. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me... one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
Okay, according to this, what city is the supreme ruler of Israel going to come from?
Bethlehem.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Just, hey, though you're a small little town, out of you is going to come, that is going to be the ruler.
Right.
That's what, very clear.
Now, nobody could really accidentally confuse that with Hitler.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Or Stalin.
Unless he was born
or
in Bethlehem.
Right. You know, so it's not really... You know, with the other one with Nostradamus, you could say, well, that was Hitler or that was Stalin. Here.
It could match anything.
Yeah, here.
It was this is very clear.
Very
only
specific.
People who are born in Bethlehem.
Right.
And the other one was very clear. Only people who are born of a virgin, which, by the way, it's not very many people.
Right. I can think of, I can count how many on one hand.
You can. He can count on to one hand.
If I only had one
finger. Next week, we're going to work on hand number two.
There you go.
Oh, but
thanks.
You got the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 2. Verses 4-6 say this. This is a prophecy as well, or showing that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy.
All right. When King Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In
Bethlehem
in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people,
okay,
Israel.
You see what's happening there? That was when Jesus was born.
Right.
And King Herod said, wait a minute, where's this Messiah supposed to come from?
And everybody knew.
Everybody knew
yeah.
it was Bethlehem, right? There was no question. Nobody
right.
was like, well, we think Bethlehem, but there's some other people who think it's going to be Egypt, and some other people think it's going to be Peru. But
right. There was no confusion there.
No, it was
at
like,
all.
Well, they all said, it's going to be Bethlehem,
did
dude.
Did you just say Peru?
Peru. And yeah. So they knew that. Okay, let's go ahead, Dave, and let's work on a Bible contradiction.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by those fine folks over there at answering-christianity.com.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, they're good people. They're mm-hmm. just misinformed. All right, did Herod want to kill John the Baptist?
Yes. I always answer before we
you
ask
do,
the question.
But let's go ahead and go through this here. Matthew 14:5 says, Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him...
That is correct.
Because they considered John a prophet. So, yes, Matthew 14:5
yeah.
says Herod wanted to kill John. However,
okay.
Mark 6:19-20, so Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him.
Okay.
But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man.
Okay.
When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled yet he liked to listen to him. So no, it was Herodias, the wife of Herod, who wanted to kill him. But Herod knew that he was a righteous man and kept him safe. What's going on? Either he did or he didn't. Did he want to kill him?
What? Maybe not.
Maybe not. Nice answer. That's the answer to our Bible contradiction.
All right. C in our cracked acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D. The second C stands for credibility. When you're reading the Bible and you come to a difficult part, you have to ask yourself a few questions, right? Am I giving the writer of this some credit? I can't just blow him off like he's an idiot. Okay, this is from the book of Matthew and the book of Mark. I can't just blow off Matthew, Mark saying, look, these people were idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. I have to say, when it looks like they didn't fit perfectly together, is there any way that this could possibly reconcile? Like, I think, Dave, you're my friend. I think you're a pretty smart guy.
Thanks.
And Sam over here is our video director. And I think Sam's a pretty smart guy.
Okay.
If Sam said, yeah, I was at Dave's house last night to watch the game, and then you told me, oh, I wasn't home last night, I'd be like, wait a minute. But I know they're both honest people, so I would come to the conclusion that you were gone, but Sam was there watching the game anyway.
Right, I gave the key to my house.
Right. And what's going on here?
Which I typically do.
Matthew says that Herod wanted to kill Jesus, John. Okay?
Right.
Herod wanted to kill John. Mark, he doesn't actually say Herod didn't want to kill John.
Right.
He says that Herod liked to listen to him.
Right.
It is rational. It is reasonable to believe that a king of a country might like to listen to someone, might find their statements interesting, their speeches interesting, while at the same time wants to kill them because they offend them.
And here's the thing that's the same in both of these, is that he was afraid to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he knew him to be a righteous man.
Well, exactly. And in fact, it says when Herod heard John and Mark, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Mm-hmm. So even in Mark, where it's saying that Herod liked to listen to John, it's like he didn't really like him. He was puzzled. But you know what? The weird thing was he liked to listen to him.
Right.
And I imagine that's the case for a lot of politicians today. It could be very true that President Obama loves to have conversations and gets along great with Vladimir Putin. But
right, when it comes down to the brass tacks,
they're gonna blow each other up.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a prophecy. I'm just saying, as a politician, you can both like someone and want to end them at the same time.
There you
go. It is possible, and that's the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Good answer, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Did we answer it well?
That is correct.
Okay, good. All right. Now back to the Bible. How do we know it is from God? So far, we're looking at prophecy. Jesus, he fulfilled a ton of prophecies. We're going to go over some other things besides prophecy on the other side of this break. But did you know that there was an address given for where the Messiah is going to be born?
Did they have street numbers and street names back then?
Well, Genesis 12 says the Messiah was going to be from Abraham. Genesis 49 says he was going to be from the tribe of Judah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
I see
coming from Abraham is like a great-great-great-grandparent. So pick your great-great-great-great-grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's from the tribe of Judah, right? Pick your state, Kansas. And then he's from the house of David. So now pick a famous relative who came from your great-great-great-great-ancestor who was born in that state.
Right.
And then from Bethlehem. So pick someone who was born in the same town you were that also fits all those other criteria. There's only like one or two people who fit
that. Right. That would be like me and my four siblings.
Exactly. You and your four siblings would be the only people who could possibly fit that description.
Right.
But we see in Genesis 12, Genesis 49, 2 Samuel 7, and Micah 5 that Jesus' address was very clear. And the Messiah was going to be from Abraham, from the tribe of Judah, from the house of David, born in the town of Bethlehem. That is an address. It's very clear. And it's not ethereal, like, there's a Bethlehemic reigneth coming, maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't leave it open to interpretation. It says, this is exactly what's going to happen.
These prophecies are written hundreds of years in advance, very clear. Absolutely, you know whether they're fulfilled or not. And the Bible predicted this, and it came true. Jesus also made predictions in Matthew chapter 24 about the temple being destroyed in AD 70. The Bible made predictions all over. I wish we had, maybe we should do another couple shows just on predictions.
Yeah, it's a series.
A series about that. That's what it's called when you do some in a row. A series. Thank you, Dave.
Glad I could teach you, man.
All right. So, truthrevolution.tv, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back because there is more than just prophecy. We're going to look at some other factors why we know the Bible is from God.
And stick around.
Answer a question.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
When will the book of Revelation occur?
Well, let's look to the book itself.
The opening of a book is the most important paragraph and sentence.
It sets the expectations for the rest of the information provided. So let's examine closely the very first sentence in the book of Revelation.
Revelation 1:1, that's the very first verse in the book of Revelation, says this:
"The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place."
Soon? The first verse says it will happen soon.
Like the opening, the end of a book is very important to draw the most important conclusions. Look at the last section of Revelation.
Revelation 22:10 says, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near."
Near? What is the plain meaning of these verses? That the book of Revelation would mostly be fulfilled very near to the time of its writing.
And the book was written right around 60 AD.
Interesting that most of the prophecies were also fulfilled around 70 AD. Wow. Interesting how that works.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution! Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parents Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about, how do we know the Bible is real or written by God, you know? Is it what we actually think it is? Is it what we tell people it is?
Yes.
Is it the Word of God?
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at prophecies. I'd like to come back to prophecies in a little bit,
okay,
just to talk a little bit more about them, if we have some time.
Mm-hmm.
We probably won't. We never do. But
it's your fault, Jeff.
We're going to talk about statistics a little bit.
I never go on bunny trails.
You never go on bunny trails?
Right.
Right. We're going to talk about statistics a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We thought about saving this till a future program, but I want to say, look, it's not just prophecies. We want to look at the statistical probability that someone could fulfill some of these prophecies.
Right.
All right. So, Dave, on page 8 of your notes there.
Thanks.
We've got like 11 pages, and he's furiously flipping. The Internet Infidel article. We like to read stuff there. Will you go ahead and give that quote for us?
If numerous specific and detailed prophecies in the Old Testament were found to match the life of an historical Jesus, this would provide considerable evidence in support of the Christian faith. That is a quote from the Internet Infidel article.
Exactly. So even they admit it, right?
If a
good number of prophecies about Jesus Christ come true, then that's an excellent reason to believe.
And honestly, any smart or intelligent person is going to say that.
Yes.
Because, you know, because that is true. If somebody can prove that, you know, anybody is found to match the life of the historical Jesus, bam.
Well, if I told you, Dave, I know the future.
Right.
You'd be like, whatever, dude. But then if I sat down and said, all right, the lottery number is about to come up, it's this, and I gave it to you, you'd be like, well, that was impressive. And then I said, by the way, here's who's going to win the World Series.
Royals.
Right. You'd be like, wow, that was impressive. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I did the lottery numbers for 3 weeks in a row, eventually you'd be like, dude, you must, you either are affecting the outcome,
right.
Or you know the future, something, right. Right? I mean, you'd come to the rational conclusion that I know something other people don't. Well, the Bible was written down. It was available for anybody to examine hundreds of years before Jesus came,
right.
And he fulfilled all those prophecies. Something's going on there.
Right.
And as the infidels themselves said, a near undeniable reason to believe. And I don't call them infidels as an insult. They call themselves that.
Right.
Just to clear, our tech guy's laughing like I just insulted somebody.
You could just shut your big yapper.
So, all right, we're gonna look at the statistics of this happening
right
now, okay? All right. Statistics. The odds of someone being a twin.
It's 1 in 50.
You're a twin.
I am a twin. I am a 1 in 50.
I'm not a twin. Anybody else in this room a twin? No?
No. All right. Well, I don't think there's 50 people in here.
The odds of someone winning the California lottery.
1 in 41,416,353.
Thank you. The odds of dying on a bus ride.
1 in 500 million.
There you go. There's a lesson for you right there. Take the bus. Don't ride a plane. Take the bus.
Right?
You're way less likely to die.
Right. Being killed on an airplane, you have 1 in 4.6 million.
Yeah,
so
exactly. So that's
just slight, Jeff.
Right.
Come on.
Well, whatever. 1 in 4 million compared to 1 in 500 million.
It's when you get numbers that big. Come on,
dude. You could die on a plane 20 times before you died on a bus.
But you know what? You're still dead.
All right. The odds that you could win two lotteries in one day.
1 in 24 billion.
Billion. All right. Now, how do these compare to the prophecies of Jesus?
Okay. All right.
All right. Jesus fulfilled at least 191 prophecies.
Right. Not all of them are measurable, though.
Like what?
By being born of a virgin. How,
yeah.
How do you measure that one?
That's kind of hard. yeah. We're gonna right now calculate the odds that someone would be born of a virgin.
All right.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Okay. We're just going to move on.
All right.
So mathematicians calculated the probability of fulfilling 48
mm-hmm.
prophecies.
Yeah.
Okay. Not all 191, but just 48 of the prophecies that Jesus did.
Right.
And the odds were 1 in 10 to the 157th power.
For those of you who don't know what that is, that's 10 with 157 zeros behind it.
Yeah. Okay. So picture this. $1 is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million? That's a lot more than a dollar, right?
Right? Yeah.
Right? You'd rather have $1 million than a dollar.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
That's six zeros, mm-hmm. right? There, six zeros is the difference between $1 and $1 million.
Right.
Okay? Jesus, the odds that you can fulfill stuff, 1 in 10 to the 157th power, 157
right.
zeros.
Right. There aren't enough $1 bills in the world to cover that spread.
No, there aren't enough $1,000 bills.
Right.
So here's the deal. The odds that you could, let's add up our other statistics,
mm-hmm.
okay? And throw in a few more just for the heck of it. The odds that you could win the state lottery, and then you go home to find out that you just had twins, and then you die in a bus ride to another state where you win that state lottery also. And then you phone home and you realize your wife had quadruplets, and then you go outside to rejoice. You see the world was hit by a seriously damaging meteor from outer space.
I don't know whether that guy's having a good day or a bad day.
Well, he died twice.
Right.
I mean, obviously this can't happen, but
he won the lottery a couple times and had twins and triplets.
Nice. So statistically speaking, it's mm-hmm. 1 in like 9,000 to the 28th power.
Yikes.
Okay. Like, in other words, it's not going to happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
28 zeros. The odds that Jesus would fulfill, anyone would fulfill those prophecies, 157 zeros.
That's crazy.
157 zeros. That means the difference is 127 zeros.
Right. And still saying it doesn't, you would have to see those numbers actually, you know.
Yeah, just write it down. Okay, write down a 1 with 28 zeros behind it.
Right.
And then write down a 1 with 157 zeros behind it.
And then you'll begin to see, you'll begin to grasp the enormity of everything.
Yeah, and then remember the difference between $1 and $1 million
right.
is only six zeros. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, oh my
yeah.
goodness.
I think the word is snap.
So right? snap! Right, okay, we're going to do a listener question.
I got a question.
All right, from a listener, it says, how is it just that God punishes Adam and Eve for disobeying when they had no knowledge of good and evil?
Yeah.
How would you explain the punishment of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Yeah, good question. So
they didn't know what they were doing, and so they can claim ignorance as a defense, right?
And so why did God punish them if they didn't know what
right.
they were doing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, That's a good question. In our cracked acronym, we'd use the E, the early meaning of manuscripts, because the meaning of the word change, but when it says no, did you know what evil was? In Hebrew, especially when it's written, knowing could mean reflecting or thinking about. It could also mean experiencing. There's a big difference between those two types of knowledge.
Right.
Adam and Eve knew intellectually that they should not disobey God, but Satan was saying to them, you don't really know the difference between good and evil. Mm-hmm. Try it out, then you'll know. And in a sense, Satan was right. Experiencing evil is a much different comprehension level than hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's people who know about 9/11.
Then there's people that experience 9/11. Exactly. There's a huge difference.
That's a very big different type of knowledge, understanding. Right. Mm-hmm. And so Adam and Eve knew what evil was, but they hadn't experienced it. And that's what the Bible's talking about. And so God says, look, I've told you not to do this. And they know it was evil. They know it was wrong. I know murder is wrong. I'm not going to do it, but I haven't experienced it.
Right.
Well, Adam and Eve knew that eating off that tree, so to speak, was wrong. And so they shouldn't have done it. But they didn't know in a sense that they hadn't experienced it yet. So that's the answer.
I got a question.
And you know, as they say, ignorance is no excuse to the law. You know, when I was younger, I got caught speeding. Cop pulled me over, says, you know how fast you're going, boy.
You
I didn't know what the posted speed limit was. Well, ignorance is no excuse.
So wrong, Dave. So bad. Why would you do that?
Because I was young and dumb.
Okay, but look, only God could have made these circumstances to come together in the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay. The odds that anyone fulfill that 1 in 10 of the 157th power, you can't even fathom a number that big. So we know the Bible has prophecies that were fulfilled. The statistical probability that it could be fulfilled, just astronomical. This is, in other words, this cannot be done on accident.
Right.
If you believe in math, you need to believe in the Bible as the word of God.
Amen. And the thing is that if that amount of numbers or that amount of odds doesn't convince you, then
probably nothing will.
Then nothing will, right.
All
right,
we got a book you should read.
Read a book!
All right, this book right here is called Canon of Scripture by F.F. Bruce. It is an amazing, amazing book.
Mm-hmm.
It's really detailed, really deep, and really thoughtful. So it's not like you're an easy reader. So
right.
You're not going to take this home, kick back, and just go, it's like reading a good fiction story. No, it's a little more intense than that.
So is that something that you would take home and like put in your door, and like when unbelievers come to your door, you can shoot it at them, shoot scripture at them, the canon of scripture?
Yes, that is exactly. The canon means like the entirety of, of the Bible, like the Bible. So this is talking about how did the books of the Bible become to recognize as scripture? Who decided what shape the canon or the Bible should be? What were the criteria that influenced those decisions? Okay, all this, like, why is the Bible the way it is? The Canon of Scripture by F.F. Bruce, really good book. So if you want to be smarter, you can go get that one.
Read a book!
And, you know, reading does make you smarter, so.
Yeah, unless you're reading the wrong books.
Right, that's true.
So, all right, now, here is the third reason why we know the Bible is from God. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
This is going to be one of those you can't say that type moments.
Okay.
But here we go. We know the Bible's true because Jesus said so.
You could just shut your big yapper.
No, seriously, Chris Harley.
Right.
Like this is, we do know it's true because Jesus said, okay, we're building, what we're doing here, we're building a cumulative case.
Right.
Okay. The Bible's true biblically, historically. There's many prophecies about Jesus in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Prophecy and the resurrection prove that Jesus is God. Whatever God teaches is true. Jesus taught that the Bible is God's word. Therefore, the Bible is God's word.
There you go.
If I could prove that Dave knew everything.
Well,
and then
I could prove that myself.
And then Dave said, the Bible is God's word. Then we would know the Bible is God's word.
Right.
Okay, we can prove, we can use the Bible with its prophecies and its statistical reliability to show that Jesus really is God. And then he says, and you should trust the Bible.
And then why wouldn't you, right?
Exactly. So it's a cumulative case. All right. Thanks for listening today. Join us next week. Get out to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and come on out to
Revolution Church.
Because we care about you.
Right.
Truth is important, but one of the verses we love is Jude 2. It says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Right? We want mercy for people, forgiveness of sins. We don't care what your past is like.
Amen.
I've done stupid stuff. You ever done stupid stuff?
Absolutely nothing I would admit to.
I sin. I mess up. You're not coming to a perfect church. You're coming right to a place with a bunch of people who messed up and know they need God. If you know you need God too, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right, good.
You didn't say it.
That's what our tech guy didn't say. He's apparently perfect. But all right, so thanks for joining us. TruthRevolution.tv, Revolution Church. This is Jeff and Dave saying have a great week. God loves you.